Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. This is Jason Troyer.
And Joe Scott.
Filling in for Bob Enyard, who is the pastor of Denver Bible Church. He is back from Las Vegas, and he is now preparing to do the keynote speech at a Grace Gospel Fellowship retreat this weekend. And so we thought we'd give him one more day off of doing the radio show.
Nice.
And, you know, we have so much material. It's so crazy. We did one live show on Wednesday. And we got two crazy callers. We had Dave from Denver, who we talked about on yesterday's show, who was just so evil and so despicable. And then after Wednesday's show, the insane calls just kept rolling in.
Yeah, they did.
So we had an opportunity.
Was it a full moon that night or what?
I don't know what the problem was. And Bob doesn't really talk to these crazies all that much, so maybe they listened to Bob's show and they didn't think they had a chance at debating Bob, so they decided to wait till the rookies came in. And they didn't really stand a chance against us either.
No.
Because, you know, you don't have to be all that versed in debating techniques and understanding of the psychology of people. You just have to understand right and wrong.
The Bible.
And if Dave from Denver says that we should kill handicapped kids, you don't have to have a degree to know that that's evil. You just have to have a conscience.
A three-year-old, little Dominic, could tell us that's wrong.
Yeah, should we hurt this little baby? No. Okay, that's brilliant. So we let him kind of keep talking so he had enough rope to hang himself on. So we had fun, and it was an interesting call with Dave. And then after the show, we had a call from this woman who wouldn't give us her name, and we're going to play that for you in just a minute. But she brings up a passage in the Gospels that's very familiar to all of us about wars and rumors of wars and
end times
types of stuff. And, of course, Christians for centuries have said, well, those are the days in which we are living now. These are the end times. And Christ himself said these are the latter days, these are the end times. And so,
but Jason, Christian, you have to admit this woman had kind of a unique take on it. I've never heard this before.
Well, in that passage, she starts talking about the nuclear threat that we're struggling with right now. And so I think it was much more of a nuclear threat when the Soviet Union as a country had the nuclear bomb and was willing to attack us. Now,
willing and able.
Yeah, willing and able. That's absolutely true. And, of course, we had the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so there have been times in history that we are much more in danger of nuclear destruction than we are today, although it could still happen today, there's no doubt. But North Korea is certainly a threat, although they don't really have a nuclear weapon and they don't have the capability of getting it to America the way the Soviets did. Iran is flirting with getting nuclear weapons and so forth. But she makes the argument that these are the last days. And
she knows.
Yeah, and if you're listening out there and you're agreeing with her, you don't want to take her side. You might agree with her on that point, but she makes some really goofy assertions.
Yeah.
And not only goofy, but also evil.
Yes.
And one of the assertions that she makes is that, why don't we just listen to the phone call, because I don't want to steal her thunder, because it's when the idiocy comes out of her mouth, It is stunning. So why don't we listen to the phone call, and then we'll come right back. So let's go to the phone. We have a caller on line one. Go ahead, caller. What's your comment?
Oh, hi. I just wondered if I'm sure you do believe in Jesus' words. I thought I should tell you what Jesus said to me regarding abortion.
Now, he said this to you, or this is what's said in the Bible?
It's in Matthew.
Oh. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
It says, woe to them who are with child or who get stuck in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the days of tribulation. And if you ask me, there's no worse days of tribulation with, you know, nuclear war hanging over our heads. What more tribulation did we ask for?
Nuclear war there in that passage?
No, but he says in those days of tribulation when there's wars and rumors of wars, et cetera.
So what do you think that means?
Yeah, that's a new phenomenon in this world, is wars and rumors of wars. We haven't had
that. Earthquakes, but it's not
We haven't had earthquakes either recently. So this must be talking about today.
In Japan, okay? But the other thing is, would you want to walk in the shoes of a child that was born of a rapist? I surely wouldn't.
I wouldn't want to walk in the shoes of a child who's being sucked down a tube and having his arms and legs ripped off.
Oh, that's horrible. That's why I believe in the morning after pill.
Oh, so chemically burning the child
the morning after.
You know what? I've talked to a lot of young women who have had abortions. Some not as many who have been raped and had abortions. And I've talked to women who have been raped and had their child. And I'll tell you what, the ones that have their child love their children, and they're not disturbed by the fact anymore that they love their child. That's what they
say.
Well, I've
heard only of mothers who have had rapes, and the child tried to kill the mother, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
The child had to kill the mother?
The mother hell and gave their own life hell.
You know what? That isn't because she was a child of rape. That's because that parent didn't have control of that child. And that's not because of rape.
Born of rape. I don't believe that any, you know, would you want to be stuck with a rapist, you know, in your new life? Because that's what happens.
I wouldn't be stuck with a rapist.
You get the part rapist and part innocent. And what happens
is
this one
mother
took the child of the innocent out, and then there was just the demon part of her left.
So any child conceived in... So any child conceived as rape is part demonic?
And rape, yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I
definitely.
See.
And so that child, you know what
that's
I think?
That's why it's woe to them who are with child in those days, because so many of these children, parents who don't want their children, is because they've been raped as children and ended up getting seduced or raped when they grew up.
But where in that passage does it talk about rape? It says, woe to the mothers in those days, and you said...
Yeah, well, those days are days of rape. I mean, you know, I've never heard of a country so filled with rape.
You know, it says, woe, because it's going to be difficult during those times.
Getting raped.
What's your name? We never asked you your name.
Oh, it's not important. I have to go. This phone call is very expensive. Thank you very much for listening, though.
All right, so that was...
Jason, what a nut.
I know. All right, so let's get back to the show. Now, what do you think of that lady? We're back in the show. We just listened to the phone call. And the product of rape. And our call screener, when he first talked to her, she was saying that a lot of rape happens. Not only a lot, but most of the children today are conceived through
rape. Unbelievable.
And so what's her definition? Because we cavalierly just throw out the word rape. And it is absolutely an atrocity that happens to women. And I think in our society we take it all too lightly because it unfortunately happens so often. But that is absolutely devastating. And so when she trivializes rape and said it happens all the time or happens to most of the women
who are giving birth today,
Yeah, when it happens to most women giving birth, then it just absolutely trivializes the disaster that that woman goes through. And so the Bible says that the child is not responsible for the sins of the father. And so every rapist out there, first of all, every rapist is not demonic. We have flesh and we do evil things as human beings. We don't need a demon to indwell us so that we sin and that we commit crimes.
What if she was at a dinner party, Jason,
mm-hmm.
and people are talking about different issues and she overhears the conversation across the table from her and they're talking about maybe one person being a product of rape?
Mm-hmm.
What would she do? Get up and run screaming out of the building because that person has been a demon, demonized because he was a product of rape? I mean,
she might take
and
her
how
butter.
Does she? Maybe she knows when somebody walks in the room whether they're a product of rape. Right. I mean, if they've got demons and she knows it, maybe she can pick them out of a crowd. And if most people are products of rape. I mean, how does she go around in this world?
At the dinner party, she'll frightened. Probably at the dinner party, she'll probably take her butter knife and try to attack the guy. He's possessed by a demon, and of course, she would be the one who would be more likely to be possessed by a demon than some guy who unfortunately was the product of a rape.
You know,
and
Bob
has a criminal as a father.
Bob says bad theology kills.
Yeah,
and it does. And in her case, she'd have children killed.
Oh, absolutely. You know. The Bible says that there was a saying in Israel that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, meaning that does not and God says, don't say that anymore. I don't want you to say that, meaning that the sin doesn't translate down to the children. And certainly the effects, if your father is an alcoholic, that sort of thing, there are effects that are generational and will translate and have to deal with those situations. But the sin doesn't translate. You certainly will have to go through more if your father was a rapist, and you have to deal with the emotions that come with that. But it doesn't mean you're any less of a human being. It doesn't mean that you're demonic. And it's just I don't want to say sad because it's beyond sad. It's just evil that she would advocate that.
You know, she's was, I admit, nuttier than most.
Yeah.
But I had this happen this past year. One of my moms who gave birth, she's from Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. And the Ethiopian
community. Now, what do you mean, your mom? Or what do you mean by one of your moms?
My mom. She's one of the girls that I talked into keeping her child, and
okay.
I've kept in touch with her.
All right.
So she is from Ethiopia, and the Ethiopian community is very tight-knit mm-hmm. in Colorado. And they have some strange – they're Christian, but they have some strange ideas. Like premarital sex isn't frowned upon, but pregnancy is.
Mm.
So once a girl gets pregnant, she's shunned. Nobody will talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
So this young woman pulled out of the community and kind of stuck with me throughout her pregnancy, didn't let them know that she was pregnant. But after the baby was born, you know, she's with the father now, and they're doing well, and the father called her pastor because she is Christian. She's really she made a mistake, but she's a committed Christian who witnesses, which just thrills my soul when
yeah.
I see that. And so the baby's father, her husband, called the pastor, her pastor, and told him that they had had a child together.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor told her that the baby was sin, and the baby was no good. Now, if you saw him.
Was this an Ethiopian pastor?
It was
an
Ethiopian pastor.
Okay.
But it is getting rooted that. Kind of thinking is rooted in our society.
Well, that's why I had to question it, because it doesn't sound outrageous for an American pastor to say that. It should be outrageous for an American pastor to say that, but it doesn't sound out of the norm anymore.
No, it's rooted in this bad theology, and it's destroying people's lives. Like, Tiji is heartbroken
because the mother,
because she doesn't want to be ostracized from her community.
Sure,
she
of course not.
Loves her culture and her people. And she can't go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she's had to make a whole new life for herself outside of her own community. And she's lonely. You know, her family is in Ethiopia.
And
so
she should be commended for doing the right thing eventually. Unfortunately, she did get pregnant outside of marriage. And we sin. We still are sinners. We still have the flesh to deal with. But she made the right decision. She didn't compound the bad decision by making a further bad decision and killing her child. And so the community should commend her for making the proper decision in that instance and ask, what can we do to help?
And not reject the child.
Absolutely not reject the child, sure.
Boy, if you saw her little girl, she's adorable. She is absolutely the prettiest baby I've ever seen at birth. I was there to help her to deliver the baby. She had a full head of curly hair.
Have you seen my baby pictures? Because, well, anyway.
Jason, there's no comparison.
I can't believe you said that.
All right,
well, getting back to the unnamed caller, she refused to tell us her name and said the call was expensive. So I don't know what she was.
Sell minutes, maybe?
I don't know. I think it cost the phone call cost her credibility.
Well, that's expensive. But I don't think she has any anyway.
Yeah, I don't think she had far to fall. So.
No, that was just a really goofy
yeah.
woman.
And most of the time when we have callers like that who don't want to give us their name, even their first name, as if...
Or make a name up.
Yeah, as if Gloria from Denver is going to pinpoint her and everybody's going to know who she is. So, and I wouldn't imagine her friends even listen to Bob Inyart Live, so I don't think she is risking much. If she just made up a name, we would have gone with it and we would have just been able to refer to her. But they're embarrassed about their beliefs, and they're embarrassed about their opinion, and so they don't want to be identified. There are pro-aborts. When we're at the clinic, they take our picture, and they try to sneak up on us and take our picture as if we're going to be embarrassed. We turn around, stand there, and pose for them and smile. We're not embarrassed that we're out there trying to save little babies' lives. But a lot of times when you take pictures of the desk escorts or the security officers – at the clinic, they'll put their hands over their face, they'll walk away. Now, the people that have been doing this for years, they've had their picture taken so many times, they don't bother anymore. But the new people, they're embarrassed. What are you taking my picture for? I don't want to be associated with this place. I really believe in its cause, but
Put me on a website.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I have some interesting information from just recently, Jason.
All right.
Do you remember that I started a website recently?
Yeah. Well, before we get to that website, I did want to make one more point about the demon-possessed children, the child of rape. So let's say a woman who is married, happily married, they're trying to have a child, and she is raped one night by a stranger. But they don't know who the father is. And so they go through the whole birthing process, the baby is born, and then they do a DNA test and realize, oh, this child is the child of the rapist and not my husband. Would this person who was so embarrassed about her views, who didn't want to give us her name, would she then advocate killing that child even after birth, after the paternity test has been taken and it shows that this child was the child of the rapist?
I don't know.
Well, to be logical in her mind, she would have to want to advocate killing that child, because she said in the call, and this is absolutely stunning, that the child will grow up and try to kill the mother.
Oh, that's right.
I don't.
Well, that
that's
went
so,
off.
Yeah, so out in left field. But if that person, and you know that person is going to try to kill you when they get older and stronger, then logic would say, well, let's kill the child while it's young and weak and doesn't have a chance to fight back.
Absolutely.
And so it's not only abortion that she advocates, it's infanticide, which of course is the same thing, but in her mind probably would be different. But of course she hasn't thought through where her thought process is
going
to take her. And it's unfortunate, and unfortunately no one's going to listen to her because she can't communicate a thought.
Well, let's
that
hope
it
so.
Makes any sense
let's
at all.
Let's hope so. I've heard some TV evangelists that don't make any sense, but they're pretty popular.
Yeah, and speaking of TV evangelists, Ted Haggard down in the Springs, and this is going to bring us back to the website in just a minute, but Ted Haggard is, of course, removed from New Life Church, which is, of course, is the appropriate thing to do, and about all the church can do legally. God does not give the church authority to
arrest him,
to punish him for the crimes. And, of course, the government should do that. But the church got rid of him. He's no longer in the pulpit. I don't know if they went to the point of excommunication, but
I think he's suspended.
Yeah. So they did quite a lot. They didn't do probably enough, but they did a good job. They didn't run to the microphones and forgive him right away. But,
It's devastating.
Yeah,
it's devastating to even think about. He has five children,
mm-hmm.
and he's destroyed whatever image they had of him.
Yeah. Now, the most devastating thing of this whole story, and men sin, and that is something that we have to deal with, and the church should be commended for getting rid of Ted as their pastor.
But they got to get rid of some more.
But what they should be condemned for is in a newspaper article that we read, it says there was an associate pastor talking about homosexuality, and he said, we have openly homosexual people in our church.
Yes, he did.
So what
so
do you
expect?
So
embrace them so you can have more of this kind of filthiness and sin in your church. Embrace them. Make them feel comfortable. Don't pick on them.
Yeah, and so what do you expect from the pastor when the congregation has open homosexuals, open sinners, open criminals in the congregation, and the pastor doesn't come out and condemn them? He just says, well, you shouldn't get married, apparently. That's all he says.
So what does that say? Does that mean that the pastor says it's okay to have sex outside of marriage?
Apparently.
Because if he's saying it to them, what difference does it make if you're homosexual or heterosexual if you don't have to be married?
Yeah, well, he's against homosexual marriage, so therefore any relationship they have would be outside of marriage in his view.
Right, so it's okay.
And so he's apparently promoting promiscuity, if not homosexuality. And both of those should be condemned, one, of course, more strongly than the other.
Well, I think both.
But Colorado Springs is supposed to be it's not in the Bible Belt, but it's kind of the heartbeat of American Christianity. There's over 100 Christian ministries down there, including, of course, the most famous Focus on the Family. And Ted Haggard was also the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. And so there's a huge group of Christians down in Colorado Springs, and yet
a huge influential group of Christians in Colorado. And they're most influential in the country.
And so the homosexuals, knowing that this is a big gathering of Christians down in Colorado Springs, they came out with a new marketing tool down in Colorado Springs having to
do... Just for the campaign.
Yeah, just for the homosexual marriage campaign. And, of course, you and I talked about this previously when we were hosting Bob's show. And it was their website was
BornDifferent.org.
Yeah, BornDifferent. And we played some of their ads, which had a cute little puppy who mooed. He didn't bark. He mooed. And so he was just born different. And we should accept cute little Norman because he's different doesn't mean he's
cuddly and he's lovable. And how could you turn a little wonderful little puppy away just because he's different? And homosexuals, there's no difference between them and Norman. They're just different. They're cuddly and they're beautiful. Oh, it got under my skin so bad.
So how did you combat that?
I decided to make Norman is Nuts website, normansnuts.com. And I have a friend, Ron Brock, who I just spoke to before the program. He dressed up his vehicle to combat Norman. We had our own dog on there saying, mm-hmm. Norman's nuts. It's a lie. Dogs don't moo. It was a monstrosity, but it sure got your attention when you were on the street driving by. It has flags on top. And so our website was getting a lot of hits. I was getting death threats. And so Ron and I are kind of – plus we went down to the Springs with these bright green pamphlets. Not pamphlets.
Just handouts.
Just a handout, mm-hmm. An 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper with a – picture of a cow holding a sign that says, dogs don't moo, it's a lie, normansnuts.com, and we put them everywhere. We put them all over Walmart. We put them all over everywhere. And so the people were getting very upset about those particular flyers. And I was about to do it another time.
Mm-hmm.
And that day I broke my foot. But
yeah, you and I were planning on going down there and distributing more flyers, and then I got the call. Can you come and get me? I think I broke my ankle. So that nixed that. But the website worked wonderfully, and of course
did.
Ron Brock was driving his truth truck down in Colorado Springs for
it
a month or so.
It was the only thing. He was there 6 weeks. The only thing that was visible down there that was against Norman was mm-hmm. that truck and the website. The only thing, there was no billboards, no posters, nothing up anywhere else except for there. But that guy is dedicated. He drove the streets of Colorado Springs day in and day out from dawn till dark.
Mm-hmm.
From the minute the sun rose, because I was getting hits on the website at 5 in the morning until 1 o'clock in the morning. And he picked these spots under... I don't know how he does it. Ron is not a big man. He must soak and wet be 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
He'd pick these spots under light posts to sleep at night so that the truck would be exposed. He's the bravest guy I know, And I'm getting hits on the website all night long because I know that Ron's sleeping under a light post. And I'm thinking, oh, God, please protect him. Don't let anybody.
Speaking of hits, we did have one person who, of course, would celebrate tolerance and diversity pull up behind Ron in the truck as he's driving around town and slammed into the back of Ron.
Backed up and slammed into him again.
Backed up.
Turned around. Wait a minute. He turned around and started to take off, realized there was nobody looking, and he turned around and went back and slammed into him again. Hurt his car more than Ron's truck.
Yeah.
He just broke the Norman's Nuts thing that he had on there.
A little bumper.
A bumper. Yeah. No, it wasn't even a bumper. It was
kind of
bolted.
A homemade bumper.
Yeah, bolted to
every
bumper.
Inch of that truck has the message on it.
Right.
Including the bumper that was made specifically for that purpose. Right. And so, and then, of course, someone saw what was going on, copied down the license plate number. When they called the police said what?
It's a fake license plate, so they couldn't even get the guy. But that's neither here nor there. They didn't do any damage, but we would like them to have to suffer the consequences of their actions. This guy got away with it. But Ron and I are, we think, Jason, what do you think? Should we take personal responsibility for eye failing in Colorado?
Well, you should certainly take some credit for that. That's wonderful that you guys did that. And... it's going to be a continuing battle. It's not
oh,
as
it's
though
not
we
over.
Want. Yeah, it's not as though we
staved it
want,
off yeah. for 2 years.
And so now that the battle is continuing, what has NormansNuts.com turned into?
Oh, Flip Benham is doing a campaign against, or he calls it a campaign to save Walmart mm-hmm. from the homosexuals, from the pressure that they're putting on them to get money from them. In fact, they just got, $60,000 from the – they gave $60,000
to the
homos. Yeah, that's awful. So
if you're out there and you shop at Walmart, the holiday season, the Christmas season, Thanksgiving season, New Year's, all that is coming up.
Don't shop at Walmart. Just let them know. Don't say you never shop in there again. Just let them know we don't like it. You know, they've just thrown us a crumb. Oh, we're going to say Merry Christmas. Well, so they gave us, we'll say Merry Christmas, and they give them $60,000, plus they're on their Chamber of Commerce, plus.
The positive thing is that Walmart responds to protest. And so the liberals have for years protested Walmart and said that you're not paying enough and that you do this and that and you're not liberal enough. And it's not necessarily the liberals that are giving Walmart the money. It's the conservatives, the people with big families, things
That's
like that.
Right.
So it took a while for the liberals to pressure Walmart into changing its policy. And so it didn't really change its policy in wages, but it tried to pacify the liberals. And how did it pacify the liberals? It gave to liberal causes. And so it says, well, don't be mad at us liberals. We're giving money to the homosexuals. We are distributing Plan B in
right.
our stores. And so that, hopefully, in Walmart's eyes, is going to pacify the liberals. Now, in a different issue, they were saying Happy Holidays last year, and Bill O'Reilly and others
put pressure
on them to say, you need to say Merry Christmas. And people complained to Walmart. Walmart, again, changed their policy to try to pacify the Christians. Now, if the Christians rise up and say, we won't shop at Walmart until you stop funding homosexuals, until you stop distributing Plan B, because Plan B can't be making them that much money.
No.
I mean, if a family of six, mom, dad, and four kids, stop shopping at Walmart for a year, that's going
to... $35 pill. Let me finish. Let me tell you what happened with the website, though.
Okay.
I turned it over for the Walmart protest. So now if you go to SaveWalmart.com, there'll be a link to go to the website. You won't see the dog on the website anymore, anything to do with Norman. But you will still get all the facts about homosexuality, the truth about homosexuality. That is if they've got it up on their site yet.
Mm-hmm.
We just made this deal this week. But
and don't eat a meal before you go to that site because it will make you vomit.
Yeah,
and of course,
it's a terrible site.
Yeah, that lifestyle, the way of living, is absolutely deplorable
People
and disgusting.
People need to know it, Jay.
Yeah,
they need
absolutely.
To know. This is not a cute, cuddly subject.
And that's why I asked Dave from Denver on Wednesday's show, how does an abortion work? Because it is so sick and so disgusting that most people won't describe it to me. And I haven't had any pro-abort describe it to me, but yet he did. And, again, that's not a credit to him. That just is more evidence that he is evil. He knows exactly how it works, and yet he still says it's good to kill children.
Without flinching.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are out of time, and Bob will be back on Monday. And, of course, we need your support here, as always, at kgov.com. So please visit the website or give us a call, order products, or just let us know how we can help you. And, of course, do right and risk the consequences.